The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the UAB Director's Chair. He is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. Go Blazers. Mark Ingram on the left-hand side of the screen. If you're watching us on YouTube, of course, you're listening to the TKR app. It's in both your ears. I'm Tony Curry. We do a show every single week, and it runs at least five times a week in the TKR app and wherever you get your favorite podcast. Mark, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm excellent. Thank you.
Fantastic. You know, you and I, we're very transparent, and we'll talk about anything on this show, and we take your emails, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I want to talk a little AI with you. I know I texted you earlier this morning. You're like, I don't know anything about AI, but I will walk with you through this journey. Yeah. There's something going on in classic rock and AI that I'm not real crazy about, so I want to get your thoughts on that. We'll talk about that in the latter part of our podcast, but a lot of going on, you know, with springtime. Obviously, baseball season is starting to run out a little bit. It's a little bit of a slow time. We hate to say it. It's always a slow time because there's always things going on. But you have a golf tournament coming up. What else is going on the UAB campus that we need to know about first before we get started?
Yeah, I think we talked about this last week. We just had graduation. We graduated 70 student athletes, which is a huge number for us. Always bigger in the spring than any other time. But anyway, that's a bigger number than usual. And now softball season just ended. We finished our tournament. They were up at Wichita State. They hosted the tournament this year. And so we got eliminated there. And now we have baseball still playing. Baseball is at home this weekend against Memphis. So right now, the top eight teams go to the conference tournament. We are currently tied for seventh, but the team that we are tied with has a tie break over us. So technically, I guess that makes us eight. So we're hanging on right now, and we play Memphis and South Florida next. So we've got Memphis at home this weekend. Come see the Blazers out at Young Memorial Field. And then we go to South Florida next weekend before the tournament. So they're wrapping up the season, but yeah, we've got one more opportunity to see Casey Dunn and those guys this weekend.
I'm sure you're up to about here in sports, but you're an athletic director. That's what you do. Anyone that sees you with your kids, with your wife. Very seldom are you ever alone. And it's a good gig. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I did sports radio for 20 years. My job was to watch sports, period. I don't watch as much as I used to just because I don't have to talk about it every single day, but I still thoroughly enjoy it. And whenever my son's over here, he just got back home from Clemson. Our TV's on ESPN pretty much 24 hours a day. Do you watch other sports besides what's going on at UAB? Are you into the NBA? Do you watch Major League Baseball? What are some of your other passions that perhaps people don't know about Mark Ingram?
Yeah, it's hard to keep up because of everything we've got going. I'd rather keep up with the college scene than the pro scene, just because it's the industry that I'm in.
Yeah.
It's not about a preference. I do find myself watching about any football game that's ever on. Mm-hmm. You know, I can watch Hiawassee Tech versus, you know, New Mexico Christian, whatever, and I enjoy that, but when it comes to the NBA, they are really competitive in the playoffs. And the regular season games, they're okay. They can be entertaining, but nothing like the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And baseball is a bit that way. I love watching the playoffs and the World Series. That's a lot of fun. I actually enjoy the X Games. I really like watching a lot of the snowboard stuff.
My son loves it.
Yeah. Skateboard stuff and all the tricks these guys do on their bikes. And so I think that's incredible. I know it's a different type of athlete, but the courage that it must take to do what they do, I think is remarkable. And just the balance and sort of their body control and balance in the air and how they're able to do what they do, I think is super impressive. So I enjoy watching that too. Yeah. I'll catch some of that sometimes.
Talk a little bit, because you're in the same group I am. We used to have this guy named Evil Knievel, who used to jump buses and canyons and things like that. Yeah. Now, he did it on a Harley Davidson, so he wasn't on one of these little Red Bull mini bike things, these little hot rod jobs. So you're jumping with a much heavier bike. But I mean, I even go back to say Happy Days, and I remember, you know, the phrase "jump the sharks" came from Happy Days. Fonzie, when he jumped the sharks, the show was over. It was enough. It was all about Fonzie at that point, and of course he jumped the sharks, and he started by jumping some garbage cans in the parking lot of Al's diner. And And I look back at that and I think to myself, even then, that was a heck of a jump. I don't know, they jump like 14 trash cans. You and I probably, I remember getting my 10 speed, and I remember if I could jump like 5 or 6 feet, it was something else. Seeing Evel Knievel jump 6 or 7 buses was something else. You got guys now jumping thousands of feet. I mean, doing things that we never thought were possible. And it's weird because once, I'll never forget this, I could not dunk a basketball. I'm 6'4", 6'4 and a half, 6'7 with heels. And I could not dunk a basketball in my senior year in high school. And finally, I was at a dance or something, I don't know, and I had this adrenaline rush, and I had a basketball in my hand, and I went up and I dunked this basketball because I got this adrenaline push. And from that point on, I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I could dunk a basketball. Now I can't, I can't dunk one now. And I wonder how much we have changed athletically. I mean, we see kids now in college basketball, college football. The catches now are unbelievable. The Willie Mays catch in Major League Baseball used to be the greatest catch. We see that every night now. Just talk a little bit about, you know, once we cross over that line and, hey, listen, I can actually do this, how much sports, we know they're getting faster. We know they're getting stronger. We know they're getting bigger. But I mean, sports have changed just so much just over the last 10 or 15 years. It's really remarkable when you're looking at the ESPN top 10 every night. I mean, everything is just miraculous.
Yeah. I mean, the training that young people have is so different than what you and I had.
Yeah.
You know, all these performance centers all over town. You know, here in town, we got this place, Godspeed, run by a former UAB football player. And there's Tinsley Performance, a guy who really kind of specializes in baseball and, you know, Meta Fitness. And there's all these places. D1 is a national brand started in Nashville by actually a couple of my old teammates. And they that kind of thing exists now. It didn't used to exist. And this is about plyometric training. So you're talking about dunking a basketball. Like, I couldn't dunk a basketball until I was in college. And it came from all the plyometric work that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, strengthening and also it's funny, the trust that you sort of have now. That please don't, this was not Vince Carter, LeBron James up over the backboard. I'm just saying I could, you know, dunk a basketball. And, you know, that, but in once you do it, then you realize that you can do it. And I'm a big believer in visualization with certain components of sport. For example, I don't think you could hit a baseball over the fence if you don't think you could close your eyes and really truly visualize yourself doing it. I really believe that. Wow. And I think that you've got to get to a place where you've got some imagery. How will this happen? And then you do it and you realize, yeah, that wasn't so hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's all about, you know, training and, you know, hitting the right pitch, the right time with the right bat speed, all those things. But, the technology exists to let you do it. But you got to believe that you can do it before you can actually do it. So I'm a firm believer in that myself. But yeah, it's just, the training that the kids have is remarkable, and the access that we give them. And you know, the fact that I was, you know, my dad was an athletic guy, but I'm a better athlete than he was. And so I'm a product of some teaching and coaching that I got, which I've now given to my kids, and did so a lot earlier. So they're naturally better and will be better equipped for their children to teach them sort of good, bad, right from wrong in terms of technique and how to do things.
It makes you wonder what our athletes are going to look like in 10 or 15 years. I mean, we got gymnasts who are creating their own moves.
Yeah.
We have people doing things that are just, I mean, I saw some video of some, I think he was called Monkey Man or Spider-Man, this guy who just, he just climbs things. And they had this huge, it was like 20 stories high, and these guys just climb just with his hands. I mean, it's because he could do it. He was jumping back and forth. You know, you're asking me to jump from one building to another, 6 or 7 feet, and I'm freaking out. And these guys are jumping around like monkeys. And it's like, I mean, you just wonder what our athletes are going to look like in 10 or 15
years. You're talking about like that parkour type stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Man. It's
okay, insane. So I can't remember the name of the movie. Because I thought as a 12-year-old, this was just so cool. There was a movie, and it was about BMX racing. And this guy in the movie kind of culminates at the end of the movie. He does this backflip on his bike.
Mm-hmm.
He races, and he does this backflip on the bike. Well, now these guys do like 3 backflips on a bike.
It's unbelievable. You know? Yeah.
And at that time, it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy did it. And it was that way. Now, it's just like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all, you can't do that. Well, everybody do that.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, you can even go to, and I watch some TNT because the NBA playoffs, and I'm starting to watch them WWE. I never thought in a million years I'd watch. But I mean, some of the moves these wrestlers are making, I realize why they're at the age of 35 and they're beat up and they're in wheelchairs. But
yeah, can you imagine what that must feel like to fly off the top rope, land on your back? I don't care. You know, we go, oh, is it real? It's not real. Whatever.
Something's real.
Landing on that mat is real.
Something.
But a guy lands on you, that is real. He throws
real.
You off onto the concrete, hits you with a chair. That is real.
No doubt. We're doing this show here on, I guess, the 8th or 9th of May, and it's on a Thursday. And I'm seeing the congressmen are proposing bills that would legally protect the NCAA as we continue to talk about this. We go on. I don't want to get back into that because we talk about it almost every single week. But one thing that I thought was interesting, and I saw Brian Kelly almost a tear in his eye talking about the transfer portal and just how much he hates it. And you brought up before we started the show about Dabo Swinney. He started the season, was it 3-2 or something like that? They lost four games this year. Anyway, you know, you don't lose four games at Clemson. You just don't. And obviously they finished the season and we heard his whole, you know, buy our stock now, it's going up. And they ended up having a pretty decent season. They were a much better team at the end of the year than they certainly were before the season. And a lot of people are saying it was because they don't use the transfer portal, and he's still not using the transfer portal. What do you think he's trying to? I don't think we're putting that toothpaste back in the tube. I don't think that's going to change for coaches who want to do it old style, old fashioned. What does that say? Because Dabo's a pretty liberal guy. I know we're as hard in his mind as from a Christian standpoint, but I mean, we're not talking about Mac Brown here. We're not talking about a guy in his 60s and 70s doesn't want to change his ways or do whatever it takes to adapt and successful on the football field. But for a guy who says, I'm not doing the transfer portal, will it work? Can it work?
I think it can. It's certainly different than everybody else. But I mean, it says to me that he agrees, and I agree with this, you know, team continuity is critical. And you can't have selfish people and you can't have bad locker room people. And you always are with a team of the size that a football team has, you've always got some of that. There's 120 people in the locker room. You're not going to have 120 people who all agree and believe in the exact same thing, that everything is right and wonderful. That somebody's going to be unhappy, you know, or somebody's not playing or whatever. That always is going to exist. But team chemistry is critical to team success and them all believing in something that they can rally around to help achieve a common goal. And that's hard to do. And when you flip your roster, 40% of your roster every year because of the transfer portal, you know, you've got some number, call it 15 to 20% that's going to leave because they graduate. I mean, it's just natural attrition, right? But now when that 15 to 20 becomes, like I said, 40%+, I mean, that's a massive number of people in your locker room. And the things that you have to reteach, you know, obviously you have to reteach the offense or the defense, whatever their position is. You got to reteach things like, we don't speak to each other like that, whatever that is. We treat the equipment manager respectfully. Don't disrespect the equipment guy. Don't disrespect your trainer. Hey, the person that's helping to serve that meal, we've trained our guys to understand that that's a person we respect because they took time and care to prepare this meal, which they've prepared for you to eat to help you be stronger and faster and, you know, feel, you know, not hungry, but also work with a nutrition plan. Oh, and yeah, that nutritionist, they don't have to do this for you. They're doing this because they care about you. And so there's just all these little things. Here's what we wear to a meal. Here's what we wear to travel. Here's, you know, when we say be here at 2 o'clock, practice isn't at 2 o'clock. No. You're here, you're dressed, you're taped, you're ready. You're ready to go at 2. Mm-hmm. And you're not walking out on the field at 2. You've been there for 5 or 10 minutes. We start. We start whistle blows at 2. You know, just all this stuff. It's not the same at every school. And that's not to diminish some other place. What I'm saying is there's just all these subtle little things that go into team chemistry and team culture. It's just such a popular phrase that you can't reteach everybody all the time, every year. You want to build it in, and then your players kind of help relay those messages to the young guys. And your young guys rely on that. And your coaches are relying on the older guys that have been here to teach the younger guys some of that stuff. And my assumption is Dabo's trying to tap into that concept. You know, he was one of the first people that really had studied rest. And so sleep is a big thing with Dabo, and he's got nap pods and they've got all this stuff, and other people have sort of come afterwards, but you know, he's just really big on the age of the young man from 18 to 23, mm-hmm. how much rest they need. That's different than, you know, you actually need less rest until you get to be about 60 and then you start needing more rest again. You know, old, like the elderly are almost like infants in terms of the amount of sleep that they need. And with the teenage boy of that age group, 18 to 23, they're growing a ton still, and rest is a big part of growth. And just anyway, so there's things like that that he really believes in. And, you know, others can agree or disagree, but that's his philosophy.
We'll find out if it works. There's something romantic, sentimental, sexy, whatever you want to say about, you know, yep. a team that grows together. Mm-hmm. You got the same guys together for a long period of time. And it just, you know, it's like the Golden State Warriors. You just don't see it very often where you have three yep. or four basketball players that are on the same team for 4 or 5 years in a row. And it's just really cool to see that concept. And because when you're doing one and dones, and I remember when Calipari got to Kentucky and, you know, every year he had five new guys. People are like, it's not going to work because you have to have chemistry. You get to the five best guys. Well, the guy hadn't won a national title in over 10 years and hadn't been to a Final Four in 10 years, and he's no longer there at Kentucky. So maybe there's something to be said about that. But you also think about one and dones. You think about guys that are coming into systems knowing they're not going to be there for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. They're going to be there for one or two. And can those guys be leaders? And do you want those guys to be leaders to know that they're going to be there for a short period of time? You know, back in Major League Baseball year, we had a free agency. We created free agency to go out and get those pieces, those missing pieces, the supplementary pieces, in case you were just missing a utility guy. Now you're going out there and you're getting $300 million a year guys because yeah. they're available. And so you're changing the entire chemistry of a baseball team halfway through the season because you're three games out of first. So, yeah. you know, it's just a different... It's disloyal a lot of different ways. I root yeah. for Dabo, and I hope he can get it done that way, because I hate transfer portals. I don't think it speaks anything about where our young people need to be thinking from a responsibility right. and commitment standpoint.
And you've got to fight through adversity. That's yeah. what it is for me. Is life is about adversity and how you respond to adversity. And I think, you know, just because you're not getting as much playing time to transfer out and be able to transfer out, it's sort of a, every time things aren't perfect, you're just going to quit. Yeah. And that, look, man, I hate to break it to you, but when you get out of here, it ain't going to be perfect. In fact, this is really, really good. And when you go on beyond college, life is going to treat you the way life treats you, and you've got to fight through adversity. And so I think it's a hard, I think it's an unfortunate manner to which we're trying to teach people or not teach people what that is. On the subject that we're talking about with Dabo and continuity, look at our own team, look at our basketball team. And this going to sound like criticism, and it's not. I want to credit Andy Kennedy, but I'm not disagreeing with his recruiting philosophy, but the last 2 years we've had 9 new players on our men's basketball team. Out of 15 players, 9 of them mm-hmm. have been brand new 2 years in a row. And I think the year before that it was 7. And so that in part due to his coaching, you see at the beginning of the year, we're here. By the end of the year, we've really gotten a lot better and play really great. Well, that's because of time and continuity yeah. in the system and those guys knowing each other and finally understanding completely what he's been trying to teach them since the summer, since they got here in June, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes they pick it up faster than others. But after they've done it a while, they gel together and they know each other's strengths. So, you know, we're looking for big things out of next year's team because we're able to keep a real core group of our starters together the same way when we had Trey Jemison 2 years ago. We had Trey Jemison, Jordan Walker, and those guys. We were able to keep a core together. But then we had a big brand new group last year, and we're able to keep a core group of them together. So we're hoping for big things next year because that time together and continuity, I mean, there's just no way to replace that.
It's and we love it as fans too, because I mean, we like to have fans and we like to remember the players. You know, we love when those guys come back because we're rooting for a guy and we get invested in that as well. He's Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. Go Blazers. Go to UABBlazers.com for all the information you need about Blazers, tickets, baseball, you name it. It's on there. It's fantastic. We always talk about a little classic rock. I saw this story. You know, you like Randy Travis?
I like Randy Travis.
You know, Promises, a little, you know, what's that song? I Told You So. It was one of my favorite songs. That song is a killer. You know, forever and ever, amen. He had some great songs. I love him. Anyway, so he has a stroke back in 2013.
Yeah.
And he can no longer sing. And so they took out a bunch of his albums from the early to mid 80s, and they took the musical part out and took his vocals and put it into a computer and then let AI do its thing. So he wrote new music and got new songs, despite the fact that he's not singing them.
Yeah. He isn't. I get it.
He just released a single, I think it was last weekend. And again, Randy Travis's time, I don't ever want to say it's gone because he's a great singer, but obviously he's not the same Randy Travis as he was, you know, 15 years ago. Now you got the Chesneys, you got all these young guys, you know, in the back of pickup trucks and tight jeans, blah, 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 blah. But I thought it was really interesting. And I'm thinking as a fan of his, would I like him coming out with music, knowing that he's really not singing it because it's just him. I can make an argument like Julie Andrews, for example, can't sing. Linda Ronstadt had surgery. She can't sing. Would I like to hear new Linda Ronstadt music? I can't say that I would not want to hear it. I don't know how much I'd get behind it. And I don't know how much it endear me into her legacy. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, we could do this with Michael Jackson. We could do this Elvis Presley. We're doing it with Elvis Presley. So what's your thoughts on, you know, great classic rock bands? I mean, if Lynyrd Skynyrd came out with a new song right now, it would be Lynyrd Skynyrd. But I mean, if you wanted to come out and have Van Zandt, you know, the original lead singer sing it, you could figure it out. Do you like that?
No.
I mean, could you, I mean, if you could do
it with the band. But it's not that people wouldn't buy it, though. I mean, look, a lot of modern music is no instruments being played. It's the same concept. They've taken sounds of instruments from millions and millions of other songs, mashed them together, and they, you know, goes into the computer and it spits out, you know, all kinds of sounds. They're making drum beats. We've been making drum beats through a synthesizer keyboard for 40 years. And so it's not terribly different than what we've been doing with instrument sounds already. You know what I mean? You can play horns and all kinds of things through a keyboard, you know.
What scares me is, could you ask a computer to write a hit? And what I mean by that is there are a very select few artists out there where you could come up to an artist and say, I need a hit. I need you to write a hit. They either have one that they wrote a long time ago, and maybe it just wasn't the right time, but there's several people. I think Michael Jackson was probably one of them. Where if you had to write a hit, he could write you a hit. He could write you a top 10 song.
Yeah,
there's a very few of those, and I wonder if there are any parameters.
You can't guarantee what the public's going to love, though. There's no assurance.
If you put enough samples in of what we've liked in the past and what we like now into a computer program and said, okay, I want a female. I want a 16-year-old. I wanted the song about this. Here are the lyrics. And here's the melody. And here it's going to have beats per second. Here it is. I wonder if it could spit out a hit. Someone did that. Who was it that took two artists and mashed them together? And they took two artists. I think it was Dre and somebody else, and they mashed it together, and everyone thought that these two artists had released a new single.
Wow.
And it wasn't. It was just a mashup of these two artists singing together.
A little disingenuous, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. But you know, there's something to say about, you know, it runs its gamut, and after a while, it's kind of like, you know, I think I mentioned this last week, Patti Smyth. You know, she just came out with a new album a couple of weeks ago. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple of years. I don't remember. And I'm kind of like, it sucks because there's no radio stations where you can hear that music anymore unless you want to listen to Tony Curry Radio or some internet thing that specializes stuff like that. You just don't hear. If the Who came out with a new record, you'd never hear it. I mean, the Rolling Stones just came out with a new album. They went to number one. That's because people bought it, but you'll never hear it anywhere.
Like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, exactly. I heard the first single. No one's playing it. There's no radio stations that play that type of music, and that kind of stinks.
Yeah.
And they still sound pretty good.
They're great.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting because I'm a Randy Travis fan, and I'm kind of like, this doesn't seem right. It's kind
of. You
remember
the name of the song? I need to check it out now.
Yeah, I could pull it up for you. This is Randy Travis, new song. And I've listened to it. It's his first new song. It's called "Where That Came From."
All right.
And it's Randy. I mean, it sounds like Randy, and it's AI, and it's just kind of.
I'll check it out here when we're finished.
Yeah, give it a listen to. It's no hard candy Christmas, but I mean, it's Randy Travis.
But you said a mouthful there. But what is?
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. Now, we were recording this during a massive storm.
Yes.
Here in Southside.
Man, massive storm for like the last 3 or 4 days. It seems like it's been amazing.
It got dark here like the apocalypse.
Did it?
About the time we were starting the show.
Yeah.
And we were talking about songs that are about storms.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a list of songs about storms?
I do. And these are not songs that I particularly like.
Okay.
But the three
I've got a few that I like. What do you have?
Ride the Storm Out was the first thing I thought of. Rock You Like a Hurricane was another one I was thinking of. Riders in the Storm was another song I thought of.
Doors,
and then there's a song that I play here on Tony Curry Radio, which I just absolutely love this song. It's called Change in the Weather. It's just a fantastic song from John Fogerty. And it was one of the songs where AOR Radio was all over it. And it's like 7 minutes and it could go for 25 minutes. I would listen to every note of it. I just love it. I play a lot here. People don't even know what it is. But I love that song, but those are just a few of the songs. You know, have I ever heard The Rain? There's certainly a lot of rain songs, Rain from the Beatles. There's a ton of different songs. I don't know if is there a good tornado song? I don't think there's a song about tornadoes. Is there?
Well, you said Rock You Like a Hurricane. Yeah. I have that on my list by the Scorpions. That's a classic,
great song.
Fire and Rain by James Taylor. It's not really about a storm. It's about a plane crash, which is tragic and horrible, but a great song nonetheless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. November Rain by Guns N' Roses.
You know, I that is one song that we used to play that song.
You didn't like it?
I hate it. I hate that
song. It's 11 minutes long.
I know it is. Well, there you go. If you don't like something and it's 11 minutes long, ask my ex-wife about things. Yeah. She doesn't like that last 11 minutes.
But a layup here is Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that Thunderstruck right now is number 2 on the charts? It is called the streaming hard rock disc something or other. There used to be like a jazz list, a top 40 list, an urban list, and the Billboard used to do these lists, right? Now there's like streaming, and for some reason Thunderstruck is now number 2. It came out of nowhere. It was like 95th or whatever. Back in Black, the album has now moved from like 137 to 113. All the AC/DC, because they're going on tour. They start their tour next week.
Gotcha.
And so everyone's starting to listen to AC/DC music again, and they're going out there and checking out. So, Back in Black, next thing you know, Back Black is in the top 40 again, which is kind of strange, kind of bizarre.
Yeah. I got another one for you. And this is not about weather either, but George Jones, 1971, White Lightning.
That's weather.
Well, it's about moonshine.
That's true.
But the title, White Lightning, is storm related.
How about 38 Special Chain Lightning?
Yeah.
Remember that song?
Yeah. I Can't Stand the Rain. And there's a bunch of good songs.
There's a few songs out there that are some good rain songs.
Yeah, Thunderstruck is a layup. That's played at like every stadium, it feels like. If you go to a sporting event, there's a decent chance you're going to hear Thunderstruck.
What's funny is when that song came out in like 1997 or something like that, I mean, it was a big hit on AOR Radio.
And wasn't it on the soundtrack for the Schwarzenegger movie True Lies? I think it was.
It might have been.
I think it might have been.
It was a great song then, but it didn't. I mean, it's getting played a lot more now than it ever did. Yeah. Which is just amazing, because you're talking about music's been out for 30, 40 years, and it's just, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised. I think there's a CD called Stadium Rock. I think it's just like all the great songs, like Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll Part Two's on there, and I got all the songs on there. But it's amazing how those songs, they just keep being played over and over and over and over again. And I don't see it. I don't see it changing. I don't see Thunderstruck being outside of our stadiums anytime soon. I think it's going to be played forever.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Amazing stuff. All right, my man, keep doing your thing. UABsports.com. Thank you for everything you do. By the way, we're working on a couple of new things with a couple of your coaches that we're really, really excited about for UAB. Yes, and Tony Curry Radio is really, really proud to be in partnership with Learfield, of course, the UAB Blazers. And so we're going to talk about that coming up a little bit later on this spring and summer. Great time to start those kind of things while times are down a little bit before we kick off, of course, a brand new football season right around the corner. We thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, man. Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.